Hi, you're with Truth News Radio on the 6th of February, 2016. My name's Harrywood Fenton. It's a great pleasure to be with you today, ladies and gentlemen. And today I'm going to be taking a rather devious course in today's show. I want to probe into disinformation, a concept that we often look at on this show, and one which I try to elucidate, because it's a very, very important word to understand when you are trying to get to the truth. It's increasingly important in the era of the internet. It always has been important because disinformation has always been a tactic of warfare and propaganda, because keeping people misinformed is one way of controlling them. But in the age of the internet, where the sources of information now are almost infinite, or not infinite, but obviously massively huge because of the 6.5 billion people on this planet and the access to computers, every human being acts as a potential node to transmit information. And when you have centralized control structures which are trying to limit the flow of information, trying to keep people in a bubble of a false narrative about the world, the only effective means that they have of preventing people from finding out what's really going on is to flood that medium with so much information or misinformation or conflicting, contradictory information that you are still forced to turn to accepted authorities to know what is true, because otherwise you will just be totally confused. For every proposition, there will be a conflicting proposition, and you will therefore not be able to make any decision at all. Thus, flooding the internet with disinformation is very, very important, and we mustn't underestimate the efforts that the powers that be would go to do that, because controlling your mind, controlling the way you think, is extremely important to them. And I think we often underestimate that. But just consider the amount of money that's spent on the mainstream media, much of it going out on broadcast television, going out on media that that is free to access, and the amount of money behind that is absolutely staggering. The amount of money that is spent on advertising, the amount of money that is spent on entertainment, and what do the powers that be get back for that? Well, they get back something very important. They mold public opinion. And part of that is advertising, and advertising has always been the essential ingredient of the media to make you buy products, to make you choose between a spectrum of products that are created by very, very large cartels so that the free market cannot exist. That, of course, is a very, very important part of the corporatist agenda behind mainstream media, just to make you a passive consumer that's locked within their net, that can never get out of their net, because they offer you all the choices and they make it cheap and easy for you to basically absorb their information. In most cases, it's completely free, like you just turn on your television set and there it is. Now, within all that, as the internet has grown and developed, what has actually developed, I believe that there are two types of disinformation which are quite important to understand. I'm sure we could identify many other subtypes of disinformation, but the two that I want to focus on in today's show are the disinformation that is associated with the flow of information that comes out of mainstream mouthpieces. This is what we might call mainstream disinformation. And I'm going to be going into an example of that in a lot more detail in this show. And disinformation is put into mainstream news often because they don't want people to know what is really going on about a certain topic, or they want to control the narrative on a certain topic to lead you away from making the correct conclusions. And this is usually to protect corporate interests. And of course, governments and corporations are essentially the same thing. So when I say corporate interests, I also mean government interests. Basically, the interests of the super rich and the super powerful against the interests of the 99.99% of humanity who they seek to control. So this type of disinformation is pretty easy to understand. You could simply just call it propaganda. Often it has elements that are factually correct, of course, but the disinformation is there to constantly lead you in a particular direction and to lead you away from certain directions that they don't want you to go in. Now, I want to talk now a little about another type of disinformation, and I'll call this alternative media disinformation, because it is a type of disinformation which is different, and I believe has a different objective, and which is commonly found in alternative news sites. And by alternative disinformation, what I actually mean is theories and claims, sometimes theories, sometimes assertions, sometimes claims made by anonymous sources that are quite extraordinary and, if true, would be quite earth-shaking, but which hold within them contradictions or impossible statements, logical contradictions, flaws in reasoning, typically a lack of verifiable evidence. And the key thing that unites this group of disinformation is it makes assertions which are likely to be divisive, which most people will probably reject because most people can see through flawed reasoning and statements that lack evidence, but which will create a division within groups of people because a certain minority of people, and often a minority of people who are more passionate and more, shall we say, more emotionally reactive and sensitive, will often leap onto, and that will then lead to conflicts between people who would otherwise be together on a particular topic or you know, in a general view of the world. And this divisive effect is very, very powerful. And I'm going to talk about a couple of examples of that. One of which, of course, my listeners will be quite familiar with because I've talked about it on the show many times, which is the one about chemtrails. And I've got an article which popped up on my news feed today, which really, to me, is a almost textbook example of chemtrails disinfo. And I want to read a bit from it. I just want to make it very clear that I'm not promoting this article. I'm using it, I'm studying it, and I want to help you to understand the nature of internet disinformation. Of course, for those who aren't up to speed on this, chemtrails theory erupted in the roundabout the turn of the millennium with a few individuals coming forward saying that the US government was spraying through high-altitude aerosol dispersion agents which were creating persistent contrails. And the claims that were made at that time were that this was a brand new thing that had never been seen before and that it might be being used for geoengineering or perhaps to drug people and a variety of other things. Now, the claims about persistent contrails, the claims about chemtrails being somehow unique and that they are somehow different to normal aircraft contrails is something that I've gone to in great length on this show, and I don't want to just go over that ground because it takes too long. I do encourage you to have a look at my website, put in chemtrails keyword search, or put in contrail science in Google, and you'll come to a website there that debunks a lot of the claims of the chemtrailers. But bear in mind, I'm not tying myself to anything else that may come out of those websites. If you look at the Contrail Science website, you'll see that it's run by a guy who basically disparages all conspiracy theories. And so I certainly don't tie myself to him. I simply think his analysis of the specific contrail claims are correct. But if you do go to contrailscience.com, you're probably likely to come across the rhetoric that you'll find on that site from other people posting, which is tending to lump all conspiracy theorists together. And indeed, this illustrates my point about why chemtrails is such a successful disinformation strategy, because by introducing a debunkable theory into the general population of what we might call conspiracy communities, and it being eagerly lapped up by so many people within those communities, it then becomes very easy for sites such as Contrail Science and the other one, Metabunk, which is run by the same guy, to lump all of them together, including the 3,000 engineers and architects who've analysed the collapse of the World Trade Center, and based on very, very detailed studies and peer-reviewed research, have come to conclusions which contradict the official view of 9/11. Now, the people who run Metabunk are able to just lump everyone together and say, all these people, all these conspiracy theorists, chemtrailers, the 9/11 truthers, see, they're all the same, and they can focus on the chemtrailers, and they can debunk the chemtrails so easily. And anyone who reads that and then will just follow the extrapolation that people who are lumped together with that because all the conspiracy communities are mixed up will very easily be able to put forward the meme that that all conspiracy theories, in quotes, are equally ridiculous and can be debunked. When we come back from the break, I will go into this in more depth, and I'll give you some analysis of one particular article which I think really highlights the disinformation technique which is embodied in the chemtrails meme. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio, and I'm talking today a little about disinformation. Starting off here with chemtrails, and I'm going to be leading into some other topics which are far more relevant to what's going on in the news right now. Let me just expand on this a little before I go into this article I want to read to you. I want to say that I recognise that my position on this is quite different to many of the so-called leading lights in alternative media. And I know that, and it's been the cause of a lot of difficulty and consternation for me that that I have to have this position. But it is absolutely necessary for me to follow the principles that, that this show is based on, which is using evidence and reason and logic, rather than simply falling into a groupthink view. Because, you know, XYZ, alternative health websites and leading radio hosts think that chemtrails is a real thing. You know, I've looked at it. I spent a lot of time looking at it. I spent a lot of time trying to find the evidence for it. And I just keep coming back to conjecture, subjective assessments, anonymous sources, complete lack of evidence. And it just, in the end, you are forced to realize that this is a false meme. And it does make one a little suspicious of those who are continuing to promote it. But I don't want to go down the route of using this show to denounce other people in alternative media. I've never done that. That's never been my modus operandi. And that, because that's a divisive thing to do, you see. And division, I believe, is part of what the people who create this disinformation want to achieve. So by going down the route of denouncing other people and getting into giant flame wars about it on websites or whatever is probably just what they want. I mean, I have actually engaged in some pretty heated debates on it on Facebook, but I've not used this show as a platform for attacking any individuals who have these views, because I do believe for the most part it is simply genuinely believed. And I try to simply point out why it's wrong. And, you know, I'm not actually trying to say that I have a godlike level of knowledge, or that I am blessed with some deeper ability to see truth than other people. I use methods that anyone can use to investigate a problem. And again, I refer you to the material on my website, which is already there, and you'll certainly have enough to go on to make your own determination on this. But what follows now is kind of my analysis of an article titled "Aerosol Experiments Using Lithium and Psychoactive Drugs Over Oregon." And this is published on a website called positivehealth.com by Anne Phillimore, PhD. Now, the headline is quite startling, and, you know, I was startled enough to certainly click on the link from Facebook and have a look at this. And then I saw immediately, okay, it's a chemtrails article, and they've got a photo there of some streaky cirrus clouds. And I immediately realized, okay, this is going to be another one of those type of stories. But I thought I'll read it and I'll see what it's got. If it's got any information, is there anything in the article to really back up the shocking headline? And as I kind of expected, it does not. I'll just read to you a little from it. Okay, the article starts with this photograph, and it says, under the caption, it says, "Looking west as the sun sets, taken after a heavy day of spraying, during which the symptoms of lithium exposure were intense. This is what the chem bomb dispersal looks like as it spreads out. Using the prism spectrum effect, it can be ascertained in the sunset light that this cloud is full of lithium." Now, it's just a photograph of a streaky cirrus cloud. And that caption there is typical of the whole tone of this article. It's just injecting vast assumptions into the reader's mind with not a shred of anything that sounds like evidence. Now, the article then begins with a quote from a professor of climatology. I can't imagine stratospheric aerosols ever being deployed. You can't test it unless you basically do full-scale deployments. I can't see the world standing for that. Okay, it's just a statement made by a professor. Okay, now we'll just move forward. It says here, but full deployment has been achieved. This is just a bold statement. That's how the article begins. But full deployment has been achieved. It is not being done in secret. You have only to look up at the sky to see it all over the world. It is simply being done without your permission. Testing the results of this poisonous aerosol spraying has become the purview of thousands of scientists who find themselves co-opted into programs with super security coverage. All of a sudden, an ecologist who had been hired to collect samples in riverways for effluvia is assigned to sample for aluminium, barium, lithium, and mercury, and the test results are instantly classified as secret. I quote from Elena Freeland's introduction to her book, Chemtrails, Harp, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. The subterfuge surrounding geoengineering is thick as molasses. Okay, so that's just a quote from a book. And again, there's nothing here. It's well written, though. And a person coming upon this in a trusting manner and without a tuned, trained, critical mind can easily be slipping in. This is what happens, is you slip in because the author of this is taking such an adamant position. And it is obviously a moral high ground position as well, that you want to fall in line with it. You feel drawn into it. And this is what they're doing. Now, of course, I wouldn't be taking this position if the article began with a simple presentation of facts, you know, a humble presentation of facts, which is what you need in these types of cases. In any case of contamination, in any case of chemical contamination, it's very important to humbly present the evidence because you can't just be expected to be believed. But people who are out to deceive you often have this technique of jumping up on the high horse and making very profound, ominous statements that you feel you either have to trust or completely reject. And most people want to trust because they want to feel that there is something that they can hang on to, that they can belong to. And so you're drawn in to the meme. Now, the article continues with a general overview of geoengineering, and most of it's just conceptual and speculative. But in one paragraph here, the author returns to making bold assertions about the chemtrail spraying. Different chemical mixes produce varying types of trails and clouds, wide giant lines, thin short lines, fast dispersing sprays, chem bombs that turn to a haze are sprayed day and night in order to maintain the plasma battery in the stratosphere. Plasma battery, see? This is bringing in the harp conspiracy into it. Okay, we're just going to break. I'll continue with this analysis. I'll get into the actual part where she starts talking about lithium when we come back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Do not go away. We'll be right back. welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. Now, the author of this article is basically proposing that the chemtrail spraying that she's been experiencing involves lithium, and that there's also some kind of electromagnetic harp thing going on, producing a harmonic frequency that's aimed specifically at females. I mean, it sounds crazier and crazier as you read it, but this article is very well written. And I guarantee you that a percentage of people, probably women, will read this and they'll just take it on board. You know, they'll just take it on board, they'll absorb it. It won't really be questioned or criticized. And that then becomes the germ of, as I said, creating discord within the community of people who really need to be united, folks. You know, the people really need to be united about the real and serious threats to freedom and the real and serious contaminants that are being put into our environment and injected into us. So this is a very, very serious issue. I'm not just raising it for a bit of a joke. So the lady who wrote this article believes that she got diarrhea as a result of the chemtrail spraying. She says, in the summer of 2014, I got diarrhea. And she says that her dog also had diarrhea. And she then posted requests on Facebook to find out other people who had diarrhea. And she found 100 people replied over a three-month period saying they had diarrhea. Almost entirely women, with only a few exceptions, were having sudden onset diarrhea. So women and dogs. A sensation of wooziness, a walking on the moon effect, and hunger pains, ear pain, and pains in the back of the teeth, and sinus agony. Now, she says, the key factor came to me from a lady who took her sick dog to a vet. The vet couldn't find anything physically wrong with the dog and quickly made the diagnosis that the big dog's ears were affected. She said the dog was seasick. That's what it says. The dog was seasick. Seasickness is not a joke. When you are truly seasick on a boat, there comes a moment when you wish for the boat to sink so the misery stops. Fiddling with the inner ears can quickly bring you to your knees as it interrupts the brain's spatial cognition and you lose all sense of reality. Now, what's the point of all this? Well, in the second paragraph here, she hits you with it. Oregon was being hit with not only chemtrail spray containing a possible germ or virus, but also a harmonic frequency which was aimed specifically at females. Okay, so that's just, again, a completely bald assertion. There is not one shred of evidence other than she put a request on Facebook over an over three-month period. People said they'd had diarrhea, and they were female. So she's, I mean, can you see the hopelessness of this article? The sheer catastrophe of reasoning embodied in this writing. Now, it's not over, because she now goes on to conclude that there was lithium being sprayed upon her as well as the harp harmonic frequency energies which created the diarrhea and the seasickness in the dog. She says she began receiving reports by email, telephone, and over Facebook that folks were complaining about very specific symptoms, and she realized that these symptoms, which were lethargy, thirst, weight gain, and muscle pain, could only be caused by one thing. You see, she had done an internship for drug rehabilitation many long years ago, and she realized that all these symptoms that people were complaining about, intense lethargy, thirst, weight gain, and muscle pain, were caused by lithium. And so that's why she wrote the article saying that aerosol experiments using lithium and psychoactive drugs over Oregon. You see, I mean, that's the basis of her research. The article then goes on to document a purported whistleblower's correspondence, and this actually goes into some other topics, but apparently some person called Locke sent her a series of letters, and she's got a quote here. I'm not sure if this is from the so-called whistleblower, but this is an anonymous whistleblower. We'll never be able to confirm it anyway. But under the photograph here, it says, "Lithium spraying planes often leave what are called short, fast, dispersing, non-persistent trails. They resemble the old, now non-existent contrails. These short trails spread widely into a murky haze that fills the entire sky." Okay, and this whistleblower, she says, has confirmed her belief about the lithium. And anyway, it's quite a long article. It goes on and on and on. But there is nothing in it other than, you know, photographs of clouds, an anonymous whistleblower. And they aren't even really direct quotes from the whistleblower. They're just sort of paraphrases. Well, here's what she says, a direct quote. "I could have warned thousands of people of the ongoing spraying to manufacture air stagnation of the rogue Umpaco valleys, as well as much of the Oregon coast south of Florence. The artificially induced period of air stagnation is part of a larger experiment testing the efficacy of psychoactive chemical dispersal from higher altitudes. Currently, spraying is most intense along the coast itself and above inland valleys. The stagnant air currents in the region allow for more direct application of psychoactive agents to test populations. I have little formal contact with the chemistry department, but to my knowledge, lithium is the primary substance being dispersed in the aforementioned experiment." So anyway, I'll leave that with you. The point to understand here is that this type of article it's nonsense, right? But it's well written. It's quite well presented. It's not done in that total amateurish way that we often see. And I really believe that it's being done for mischievous purposes. I believe that people who wrote this, I don't believe it's genuine. So I believe most people who believe in chemtrails are genuine, but this is so deviously concocted that it looks to me like a disinfo meme being injected into the community. And I want to just turn now quickly to another one which has actually popped up in recent years and has been the source of great derision on the mainstream, which is the so-called flat earth believers. Now, this is quite recent because, I mean, I did some searches on this a few years ago because I was just curious, and very little came up. Because, see, people always accuse those who have radically different views or people who don't believe in mainstream science on any particular topic as being flat earthers. In other words, it's the epitome of stupid, right? And, of course, to have people actually claiming that the Earth really is flat and to have groups and websites claiming it would be an ideal disinfo meme. And it wasn't there, but just in the past couple of years, it's suddenly exploded, and there are now groups popping up, and there is a Flat Earth Society, right? I mean, that was just a joke concept. You know, do you belong to the Flat Earth Society? People used to say it for a joke. There now actually is a Flat Earth Society. But I believe that is a disinfo group, probably, again, now full of wide-eyed believers. We're coming to break. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
What happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem reaction solution. And it works like this. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying, something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it? And at that point, they...
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Now, I was talking about the chemtrails, and I'm reading to the article there about the chemtrails. I just want to briefly mention this article, Is the Earth Flat? This is from express.co.uk, a mainstream media source. There are many websites you can go to look at the details. I just thought I'd briefly refer to this mainstream media coverage. Is the Earth Flat? Thousands believe madcap theory that the world is really a dome-topped disc. Now, amazingly, thousands of people are reverting back to the age-old theory that the globe is more a diorama, with a hardcore among them adding the cherry on top that it is capped with a glass dome that prevents us from leaving. Now, these websites really exist. They are, as I said, you know, frequented probably by a lot of people who genuinely believe it. And this article is very derisive, sort of humorously, you know, having a look at it. Indeed, the belief in a flat earth is something that can be easily refuted. Right? There's a number of ways you can do it. You know, you can get on a plane and you can just keep flying in the same direction and you come back to where you started. That's, to me, a pretty good indication the world is actually round. I've done that a couple of times. I've actually been around the world. If the world was flat, you wouldn't be able to do that. You know, the problem is, with the society disintegrating as it is, with so much lying going on, the propensity of people to feel that they're being tricked and deluded is increasing. So a lot of people are actually just reaching out at whatever they find and believing it as an alternative to believing the mainstream, not understanding and not realizing that this is being actually fed to them as well, that the alternative media is also feeding them false information. And that's just the key thing to take from this, is that the alternative media is feeding you false information because the alternative media is infiltrated by the same people who run the mainstream media. It shouldn't come as a surprise. It's inevitable that that would happen. I think it happened slower than many of us might have thought. I think it took a while for them to get up to speed with it. It kind of began with all of those books about the Kennedy assassination, you know, where people were making more and more wild and ludicrous claims. And that was actually before the internet era. But because the Kennedy assassination, clearly the facts do not match the official viewpoint, and the core dissenting views as put forward by Jim Garrison and some of the early books on the topic are very hard to refute, that there was more than one shooter. What they had to do is that they had to flood the media with more and more wacky ideas, you know, that the driver turned around and shot JFK. He just pulled a gun out and shot JFK right in front of Jackie. You know, that the Zapruder film was actually altered and the Mafia did it and various different groups were involved in it, and it just gets more and more complicated. And some of those views have little bits of truth in them, but they just go towards obfuscating the most basic facts. So that's alternative media disinformation. But let's have a look now. Let's have a look at mainstream media disinformation, because that's actually quite interesting too, and extremely important, because right now, and I want to look at the Zika virus disinformation campaign, because this is, and this actually has a correlate in the alternative media as well. The mainstream media Zika virus disinformation campaign holds it that Zika virus is the cause of microcephaly, which is small brain, as a type of brain damage that occurs in the womb, and the children are born with a shrunken head. Now, when you look up Zika virus and you probe into it, you find there is no history of Zika virus being associated with microcephaly. There is no correlation whatsoever. When you look up the causes of microcephaly in any of the established medical information pages on the internet, Zika virus is certainly never mentioned. What is mentioned is toxins are a potential cause of Zika virus, of this syndrome. Phenylalanine is known to be a cause of microcephaly. And phenylalanine, interestingly, and I'm not sure if this is important, but you'll find that phenylalanine is associated with aspartame, which is a sugar alternative. The amino acid in aspartame, which creates the illusory sense of sweetness, is actually phenylalanine. And if phenylalanine builds up in the body to a toxic concentration, it can actually cause this type of brain damage. But there is no association of Zika virus with this problem, and Zika virus has always been described as a mild illness, not a serious illness. It simply causes a bit of a skin rash and a mild fever. But some of the patients with the deformed babies had Zika virus in their blood, and instantly that became the meme. But if you actually follow it, this is the meme that the mainstream media adopted. But if you actually follow it and research it yourself, you find that they have no evidence. I mean, you look at the pages, I'll put them up on my website, you can double check it. There is no evidence or theory even as to how Zika virus caused this. And we know that toxins can cause this. Toxicity is the first most likely reason why this would have occurred. This type of brain damage is a typical case of some sort of environmental toxin. But as we've seen with other cases in the past, the medical industry always jumps to virus before toxicity as the solution. Sometimes to mask a real problem, sometimes because it is convenient to do so, because there is a vast industry based on virus research and the development of vaccines. And we saw this happen with HIV, and I've done shows on that, and I may go back to recap some of the HIV material. But because HIV clearly was, you know, the AIDS illness was quite clearly identified as a toxicity problem in the early days, and then it was railroaded into a virus theory, and then those few dissenting scientists were basically just snubbed out who stayed with where the evidence led them, which was that it was actually a toxicity matter. Now, many alternative websites have also jumped up on the bandwagon of virus, and they're calling Zika a bioweapon, And again, this is another type of disinformation that that is being used by the alternative media to basically hype up or ramp up certain conspiratorial fears about how the elite are engineering viruses as bioweapons to depopulate the planet. And this type of disinformation, again, has the same effect of, you know, because it's got no evidence behind it, and it has this effect of discrediting alternative research. Whereas the mainstream disinformation has the effect of making the general public believe in this virus concept, and of course this will be used, well, it's being used for a number of ways already. There will be vaccines will be coming out for it. There will be vast amounts of research money spent on this so-called virus, all without any prima facie evidence that this virus could ever cause what they're claiming it to cause. And they're also going to extend now the claim that the virus is actually causing Guillain-Barré syndrome. And there are articles, which I'll put all on the website, that are claiming that Zika virus is causing Guillain-Barré syndrome, when we know that Guillain-Barré syndrome is a known adverse effect of vaccines. We know that. It's been proven in the past. But see, they're trying to draw Zika virus into the causal explanation for something that is possibly caused by a vaccine adverse effect. And of course, in Brazil, and this has been discussed on a number of sites, the Tdap vaccine was issued just 12 months before these birth defects appeared as a mandatory vaccine in Brazil. So the mainstream media disinformation drawing you into the belief about Zika virus is basically to draw you away from making the connection between Tdap vaccine and these birth abnormalities. Now, I'm not claiming that Tdap vaccine caused these abnormalities. I don't know. But the evidence points to an environmental toxicity issue. Whether that's a vaccine, aspartame, or something else, we don't know. That is my show for this week. It has been a great pleasure talking to you. I will be back on this topic very soon. Stay with us. Truth News Radio Australia, signing out.